God bless you. Thank you for being here this morning. You ever noticed? I remember when my kids were little and I would come home from work. My wife had been with the kids all day. And she would say something along the lines of, "Oh, it's good to have adult conversation, finally." They've done a study of those that travel, and the most frequent complaint of those that travel and are forced to be alone is that they experience a need to talk to someone. And if you've noticed, those type of people in an airport or in a restaurant or a coffee shop, they seem to be able to talk to anybody about anything because there's just a need to talk. They just need to share that. If they can't develop that skill, then they do something else. They go change jobs or something else. As a Christian, we should feel the need. We should feel the urge to talk to God. One of the biggest fights in your life, if you don't know this yet, one of the biggest areas that the enemy will fight you will be in your prayer life. Prayer is simply, by simple definition, it's simply communicating with God. It is a conversation with God. And let me just say, and I will do my best to try and move quickly here. Let me just say, none of us really like a one-sided conversation. None of us like for somebody to come, and man, they're just telling us and they're giving us, and you're like, and you can't get a word in because they're just... And so when we talk to God, when we are having a conversation with God, let me just encourage you today to slow down just a little bit and let God talk to. Let God minister to you as well. We're going to talk in a moment about hindrances to prayer, but I'm afraid sometimes we treat God like a genie or like Santa Claus. You know, we come and we've got our list and that's all we have time for. Here's my list, God. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, thanks for 5 minutes. Thanks for half hour, you know, however long your list is. Talk to you tomorrow, Lord. And I realize that we use anthropomorphic expressions to describe God, which is simply giving God human form. The right hand of God, the voice of God. So forgive me if you feel like I'm being sacrilegious today. But I wonder sometimes if when we're done with our list and we're like, okay, talk to you later, if God's not going, excuse me, I'd like to say something to you. Would you just take a second and come back and let me talk to you? So let me give you three things quickly. For systematic prayer. Systematic prayer, you need to find a time. Remember, you're choosing to pray. You must decide when to pray. David said, every evening, morning, and noon will I pray. If your prayer is organized, God is a God of order. So organize your prayer. Let it be something, and we'll talk about that in a moment. But if you're going to pray, it's more than just having a system. It's having a time. When do you implement the system? We're good at that. There's books and books and books on top of books about prayer and how prayer works and what to do in prayer from a myriad of authors. And we can read those, but when do you put it into practice? It's important that you find a time. Secondly, you should find a place. It might help to find a place in your home to pray. I remember a story of a young man years ago that they moved into a new home, and the new home had a walk-in closet. And when he walked in and saw the closet, he said, "Oh, this is great! I can actually now go in the closet to pray." Because the Bible talked about entering your closet and closing the door. And so, find a place. Why? Why is that important? Well, if you don't have a time and a place, chances are it'll get lost in the shuffle. Oh, I'll pray. What? When? What time? So you find a time, you find a place. Number three, find an objective. Find a reason to pray. The number one objective of prayer should be to communicate with God. Now, I'm not going to go through these very detailed, but if you need help to pray, there's what's called a complete prayer clock. And I'm not sure if we have those in the back, but I can make you a copy if you would like one. It goes through 12 things. If you spend 5 minutes on each thing, you will have prayed an hour. Now, that's ambitious. We say, "Woo, give me that prayer clock, Pastor. I want to pray an hour." So you get it, and the first one's praise, and so you start trying to spend time praising, and you look at your clock because I'm going to praise for 5 minutes. You look at the clock, man, surely it's been 5 minutes. It's been 30 seconds. Now, I don't know if any of you have ever dealt with that, but there have been times when I'm trying to pray that I say, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to use this prayer clock, and today I'm praying absolutely. I'm going to make sure I pray an hour. And, you know, the first one, you're like, man, surely I've praised for 5 minutes. So if 5 minutes is too long, do 2 minutes. If you're trying to learn to pray and you haven't prayed for longer than a couple of minutes at a time, then do a minute. Spend a minute in praise. Because if you spend a minute in 12 things, you've prayed 12 minutes. 12 minutes is quite an accomplishment if you've never prayed for longer than a couple. And then begin to build on it. Because what you'll find is you'll find that as you use a systematic way of prayer, you may spend today, you may spend 5 minutes in prayer or in praise, and tomorrow you may spend 30 minutes in praise. Because God's done so much to you. Oh, Lord, I'm so thankful. God, I praise you because the second thing is forgiveness. And we'll talk about this in hindrance of prayer as well. Scripture is emphatic that nothing will block your spiritual progress more fatally than an unforgiving spirit. And let me just say, before I move off of that, forgiveness is more for you than it is for somebody else. Because if you don't forgive, unforgiveness leads to bitterness, and bitterness will lead to death. Oh, you still may be alive, but when that root of bitterness takes a hold, it all started because I wasn't willing to forgive. It all started because I couldn't just let go of something. And so every day in prayer, there needs to be a time of forgiveness. Lord, if I'm holding on to anything, God, if there's something in me that I need to let go of, if I need to go and approach my brother or sister, then God, I'm asking you to help me forgive them. Number three is confession. We do not use, as the Catholic do, a quote-unquote confession booth. But there is a place that you can go in your home, in your car, away from everybody else, and you can confess to God, Lord, you know today that I had a bad attitude. God, you know today that I said something I shouldn't have said. God, the way I acted today was not Christ-like. It was not. And you begin to confess to Him and tell Him and let Him begin to clear the way for powerful praying. Number four is petition. You have not because you ask not, is what James 4 said. So make your needs known. Well, He knows what I need. He challenged us to ask. Yes, He knows our needs before we ask them, but in His Word, He challenged us to ask. There is a place in the prayer clock for intercession. Intercession is prayer for somebody other than you. Intercession, and yes, there is a place in intercessory prayer that Paul said that I was making groanings that I didn't understand. There were groanings in the Spirit. So yes, sometimes intercessory prayer is passionate and it's something that becomes work as you begin to pray and you begin to ask God. But intercessory prayer can simply be asking God for the needs of others. You know that Job's temptation was turned when he prayed for his friends. I want to be careful here, but we certainly are egotistical. We are self-centered. What's good for me? What's happening in my life? What do I need? What is it that I want God to do for me? And we tend to be egocentrical when we pray and not ask God to do anything for anybody else. Six in the prayer clock is read the Bible. God speaks to us through His Word, so take some time to read. Number seven is meditate. Meditate on what you just read. I drive my family crazy because I'm an audio learner. I don't really like to read. I know it's a necessity, and so I'll do Audible books. Well, when you get a book on Audible, it will tell you it's a 15-hour book because it's going to read it to you, you know. Well, I'm in a hurry. I don't want to spend 15 hours listening to a book. So there's this little feature that you can speed up the reading. And I have learned to be able to comprehend as it, you know, it reads at 1.5 times. So instead of it taking 15 hours, it only takes 10 hours. And so I've learned to kind of tune in and listen as it goes. And for the most part, I'm pretty good about reciting after I've read the book. I can pretty much tell you or listen to the book what it said, what was the content. Well, I got in the car the other day and I hit play on my audio book and my wife and daughter were with me. Didn't think much about it, you know, because I'm tuned in. I can do it. They both said, "Please don't do that again." I'm like, "What? What did I do? Do you have that sped up or something? Because I'm trying to listen and it's giving me a headache because I can't." And that's the way sometimes that we are with God. We're trying to speed things up. And we don't have time to just stop and say, "Okay, I've read. Now let me meditate on what that I've read. Let me just spend some time and let it soak in and let God use it to minister to me." Number eight is a time of thanksgiving. You ought to spend time thanking God. Number nine is praying the Word. Find some things in Scripture. If you're struggling with some things, find some things in Scripture. And say, "Lord, Your Word said that." No, if you feel like you're being attacked on every side and you feel like you're about to be overcome, then pray the Scripture that said, "Lord, Your Word said no weapon formed against me would prosper." Now, Lord, I know that they're going to be formed because that's what Your Word said. But God, it's hurting, and it feels like it's prospering against me, and I come against that because your word said, and there may be a verse that God gives you when you're reading that you can pray. This one may seem a little out of place in prayer, but number 10 is singing. Scripture tells us to sing a new song unto the Lord. Paul would tell us to minister to ourselves. Speaking to yourself is the way Ephesians says it. In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. My kids used to be really good at that when they were young. They'd make up songs about everything. Number 11 is listening to God. We've talked about this already, but prayer is not always talking. If you're going to have a conversation, you have to listen. You have to say, okay, God, what would you speak to me today? What do you want to say to my life? And lastly, is praise. So you take the prayer clock and use it as an outline. I've already said this, but don't be so regimented that you set the 5-minute timer. You know, you got the egg timer. Ding! Okay, it's time to move to the next one. Don't be so regimented, because if that's there and you're struggling with one and you're looking at it going, oh, I'm never going to make it to 5 minutes. It might be that you spend a couple of minutes and that you spend more time doing something else. Let's talk today for a few moments. Let's see how much time I have here. I should be able to do it. I got 40 minutes, 30, 35 minutes. Let's talk about some hindrances to prayer. Because it's no secret that the enemy wants to destroy our prayer life. Because the enemy doesn't care if you study. He doesn't care if you listen to good sermons. He doesn't care if you come to church every week, 5 times a week. If he can drive a wedge in your relationship with God, if he can cause you to say, you know, it's just ritual, it's just something that I have to do, if he can cause you to not pray, then he will cause you and your relationship with God to suffer. Well, let's talk about some hindrances, some prayer problems, if you will. Number one, the enemy will try to cause you to question prayer and its value. You know, you just wasted 30 minutes of your day. Do you know what you could have gotten done in that 30 minutes? And by and large, we probably spend more time, more wasted time, doing other things. It's important that we understand that prayer will make a difference in our life. Don't question the value of prayer. Sometimes when folks say, well, I'll pray about that, I'm gonna help you pray about that, we think it's a put off. Oh, they just don't want to deal with it right now. They just don't want to talk about it right now. But in reality, if they will really pray, spiritual solutions have more validity than human or carnal solutions. View prayer as a valuable solution, not as something that's a drudgery, something that has to be done because pastor's going to ask, how much did you pray today? Look at prayer for its value. Don't question whether it's valuable or not. Number two, and this one seems so elementary that you almost don't even want to talk about it. But some of our hindrances in prayer is failure to ask. Can't tell you how many people that I've heard say, well, God knows what I need. God knows my heart. We read the scripture in James that said, you have not because you ask not. Jesus challenged us in Matthew 7:7 to ask and it would be given. To seek and we would find. To knock and the door would be open to us. When one fails to pray, we don't develop the proper technique in prayer or the real value of prayer. And so one way to do that is just simply, okay, I'm going to tell you something that's just a great revelation. You ready? This one's just going to blow your mind. There is no right or wrong way to pray. The most important thing in prayer is to develop the Nike spirit and just do it. If you'll just pray. Well, I don't know how to pray. You do. You're just questioning because the enemy is trying. Because prayer is communication. And so if I'm communicating, I can talk to God however I want. And let me tell you, there have been times that I've communicated with God in various ways. There have been times I've whispered a prayer. Lord, I need your help right now. There have been times that I didn't understand things and I've yelled at God in prayer. God, why is this happening? I don't get this. This doesn't. And if somebody would have walked in, they would have thought, man, this guy's crazy. Get out of here. I've prayed standing up. I've prayed sitting down. I've prayed laying down. On my knees with my hands. There's no wrong way to pray. So however that you do it. Okay, I don't, again, want to be conceived as being sacrilegious. But I believe today, if there are those that use slang in prayer, that God hears it just the same as He does with us that pray, quote unquote, properly. Because if there's somebody that's steeped in sin and the only language they know is, hey, yo, big dog in the sky. And they are sincere. Now, I don't think I need to pray that way to try to fit in and try to be, quote, unquote, cool. And oh, I'm going to do this because I want to get it. No, I'm talking about if I'm sincere and that's the only way that I know to communicate. That's the way I've communicated all my life. And so in prayer, that's the way I communicate. I believe God hears and that God answers. We don't receive. We hinder ourselves in prayer because we fail to ask. Remember that the Lord told us that we could come boldly to the throne. Through the writer, I believe it was Hebrews. The writer of Hebrews said, come boldly to the throne room of grace. If you will come by invitation and ask boldly and earnestly. Let me just throw this one in here too. Don't pray negatively. God, I know you don't want to do this. God, I've tried everything, and I know you're too busy to deal with my little problems. Don't pray negatively. Pray positively and in faith. The third problem, hindrance of prayer. Oh man, this one's tough. Is laziness. You know, most folks could do better in life if they just work a little harder. We get that. Oh, I'm going to get myself in trouble. We get that mentality. They call it union mentality. Well, it's not my job. Let somebody else. That's not what I don't get paid to do that. I don't. And sometimes we bring that attitude into prayer. Well, why should I pray about that? God should just handle that. God should just do that for me. Laziness. We say, I'm too busy to pray. But when in reality, prayer will bring rest. That's what Scripture said. When you pray, open your mouth. Don't pray silently. Because there's something about the spoken word. Lord, I come against this spirit. Whatever it is. I come against this spirit of oppression. I come against this spirit of depression. I come against these things that... It's the power of the spoken word. Okay, let me give you one more problem and then I'll move on to a couple of other things here. When you pray and you feel like that God has given direction or God has spoken to you, one of the problems that we as humans have is we fail to respond. We procrastinate. The Lord says go, and we're like, okay, I'll go tomorrow. Oh, I'm bad about that. God help me. You know, we want to be like Gideon. Well, Gideon put out 2 fleeces before God before he... Yeah, and if we're really transparent and honest, our situation is totally different than Gideon's situation. But we keep, oh, let's just put out 1 more fleece. Let's just put out 1 more. But when we fail to respond, when we fail to move in that moment, when God says, now, there are times I believe that we miss that divine appointment that God had set up. Not that God can't use somebody else to bring that person what they need to hear, but if we would just respond when we feel that nudge, if we would just move when we feel God say now. I want to talk quickly about 7 things that hinder prayer. You ever pray and you feel like, God, I've prayed about this and I'm just not getting an answer? Well, I'm going to give you 7 things to check. And if you can say, none of these 7 things are in my life, then we need to figure out something. We need to believe that God's going to do it. It might be a satanic attack. James 4 tells us that they didn't receive because they ask amiss, is the way the King James Version says it. In modern day language, let me just say it this way. They asked with wrong motives. It was wrong motives. Let me just give you one that just comes to mind because I saw the advertisement, you know, all over the place. Make sure you get your lotto ticket. It's 240 or something, I don't know. $240 million. Make sure you get your chance. And so we pray silly prayers like, Oh God, if you just give me that lotto ticket, let it just fall out of the sky and into my hands, Lord. Somebody lose it, let me find it. Lord, I would do great things with the money. Talked to a pastor friend of mine. He said that there was a family that he worked with. They came into money. I don't remember exactly how. I think it was something that was they inherited or something. $1 million. His words, not mine. Less than 2 years later, they had come back and said, Pastor, I hate to ask this, but is there any way you can help us pay our electric bill? Now, why would I tell that story? Because we ask, we think with right motives, but if we really, if God really gave us that $1 million, we'd go buy the boat and the bigger house and the nicer car, and 2 years later we'd be going, what happened to my $1 million? Now, I know there's exceptions to every rule, but if you do just a little bit of study, you'll find that on average, the people that win the big lotto jackpots are broke in less than 10 years. What happened to that $10 million you won? Well, they blew it. They were buying, you know, they were doing parties, and they're, oh, you need something here, I'm not saying we shouldn't be generous, but there ought to be a pattern to your generosity. Leave that alone. Wrong motives. Don't pray for something that you can consume yourself. Pray in the, you know, there's a reason why that scripture said if we seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all these things will be added unto us. We pray, God, give me the desires of my heart, but we're not seeking first the kingdom. Because when we seek first the kingdom, it changes the desires of our heart. All of a sudden, I'm not worried about driving, you know, a brand new Escalade. I'm more worried about, God, how am I going to see the next thing that you want to accomplish? Lord, how are we going to reach the next generation? How are we going to do the next thing? All right, I got to move on. When you're praying, make sure that your motives are pure. The second hindrance to prayer is sin in our hearts. You see, sin separates us from God. And until you get the sin out, you'll never really have a right relationship with God. So every time that you pray, we covered this, but there ought to be a time of confession. Several years ago, there was an evangelist that came through that gave us a model prayer that was built around Matthew 15. And for sake of time, I won't give you the whole Bible study. But the model prayer goes something like this. Lord, forgive me for every evil thought, for every evil word, and for every evil deed. Covers the three areas of my life that maybe I did something that I didn't realize I did. Maybe it was something that was inadvertent. But in praying, if I'm sincere, Lord, if there's something specific that I need to pray through over, God, if there's something that you need to show me, then by all means, show me. But God, if I'm on, and if there's something you need to pray, then do that. Don't just, well, I'm going to use this simple prayer. That's what Pastor said. Just pray that God would forgive me for every evil word, every evil deed, every evil thought. I'm good. When we know that there's some things specifically that we're holding on to, we're good at departmentalizing things, you know. We act one way at work, a different way at church, and a different way with our family. The thing is, God sees you in all three. Somehow we've been able to departmentalize God out of the equation, and we feel like, well, I can do this in God because of grace and mercy. Well, God won't care. God doesn't really. And yet He knows and He sees. But when there's sin in our hearts, it keeps us from having effective prayer. Make certain that you have confessed every sin to God. Number three, the Bible calls them idols in our lives. We don't equate well with that term idol, because when we think idol, we think, you know, the little brass statue or the little wood statue that's in our house. And we're there's a reason why that there's shows called American Idol and different things that have to do with idols. Because an idol is simply anything that gets between you and God. That means that my wife could be an idol for me, between me and God. Lord, I'd like to do, but I got to take care of her, and I got to do, because she's the most important thing in my life, and I just have to. And God's saying, hey, I need you to do. It needs to be balance. I just say that. You better make sure that everything you're doing for God is actually God saying, won't go there, but there have been some that gets things out of balance, and if that happens, that can cause you some trouble in a hurry. You need to make sure that you're taking care of home as well as taking care of what God wants. But an idol can be anything. An idol could be that new car that you've got, or that old car that you have. What are you doing? Oh, I'm working on the car. Well, you know you're supposed to be doing this and this and this for God and for the church. Well, I can't because I got to spend this time. And it's something that becomes an idol. It becomes something between me and God. We talked about this one already, but let me just reiterate. Number four is an unforgiving spirit. If you don't forgive others, you cannot expect God to forgive you. Oh, God, forgive me. And you just keep feeling condemnation. Just keep going, I just don't understand. Maybe you need to stop and examine your life. I have a book that I started. I don't know that I ever finished it because it was a book, not an audio book. The title of the book is Everybody Needs to Forgive Somebody. Ouch. All of us need to work on our forgiving spirit. Never allow the slightest root of bitterness. Oh God, help me today to have a forgiving spirit. Help me not to hold things. Help me to pay attention to my own life and to be forgiving. The fifth hindrance to prayer we're going to talk about is a lack of generosity. A giving, generous person represents God well in his life. My dad always used the illustration of the cup. if we use the bottle, since I don't have a cup. If I take that cap off and I begin to pour water into it, there's going to reach a point that there's no more water that can go in that bottle. So if we use that natural analogy in prayer, if God is blessing, there reaches a certain point that the blessings have to stop because I can only contain so much. But if I pour it out, better make sure the lid's on so I don't make a mess. If I pour it out, then I can tip it back up and say, fill it up again, Lord. Pour it out, fill it up. Or another way that it was described was being a channel where, Lord, you give it to me,
I'll give it out.
And the more you give, the more I'll give. Doesn't mean I have to give everything away. But a spirit of generosity is one that will keep our spirit right with God. Again, it becomes wrong motives. If we just want it to heap on ourselves, if I just want it so I can say, well, look at me, I'm living in a multi-million dollar house and driving a multi-million dollar car, and, you know, they do make those. I don't know why you'd spend that much money on one, but they do make the expensive ones. Be generous with the things of God. Don't be stingy. This one's tough. First Peter 3:7 tells us about a hindrance of prayer that is because we mistreat our family. Verse 7 says, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife, as unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of grace, that your prayers be not hindered. The entire chapter, he talks about family relations. How can we expect God to answer for us when we are mistreating those around us? Again, we've become very good at departmentalizing things. Well, God understands, and God... I just like to say, I don't know that God does understand. I think sometimes we want to put God in areas that God doesn't want to be in. And I better make sure that I am treating my family correctly. If I work on my relationship with my family and treat them right with love and honor, then God will in turn honor my prayer and His blessings will be upon me. Lastly, Matthew 9:29 talks about unbelief. When you pray, believe that God's going to do it. I find it comical at times in Scripture where that they were praying in prayer believing, and then when it happened, it surprised them. The one example that comes to mind is when Peter was in jail. And the church prayed without ceasing. They were praying, Lord, get Peter out of jail. And so God said, okay. He gets Peter out, sends Peter to the prayer meeting. Peter gets to the prayer meeting and rattles the gate, and Rhoda goes out. Peter's here. No, he can't be here. He's in jail. You can read it. It's there. It wasn't exactly the way that they said it, but finally, she convinces one of the adults to go, and they let him in. Why is it that we have so much problem praying in faith, believing? We tend to be unbelieving at times when we pray. Belief is one of the most important ingredients in your life. You can do nothing with unbelief. But all things are possible, Scripture said, to him that believes. Stand with me and let me wrap this up in the next couple of minutes. Please remember today that prayer is a two-way communication to God. Not a one-way communication with God, a two-way communication with God. You can talk to God anytime, any place, any position, any voice level. But remember, if you really want to learn to pray, the best thing you can do is pray. Don't just read about it. Don't just talk about it. Don't just listen to sermons about it. But put it into action. It's the greatest thing that you can do for your church. It's the greatest thing that you can do for your family, is to pray and ask God to be a part of it. Lord Jesus, I thank you this morning for your word. God, I pray today that you would help us to pray. Lord, that we would spend time seeking you, that we would ask for your guidance, and that we would respond to the things that you say. Lord, I pray today that as we enter into morning worship, that your presence would be here, that you would speak to us, that you would minister to us. Lord, I pray that your Spirit would help us today. God, anoint Brother Carver as he preaches the word. We'll be careful to praise you for all things today. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you this morning. Have about 18 minutes before that we start morning worship. God bless you.